Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey everyone, welcome to Transfer Insight Live. I'm Paul Machin. Neil Jones of Goal.com joins me in this sweltering hot studio. We had the door open, things were looking up, and then Tom's come in and decided to trap us in a sweatbox.
Yeah, he's not done us any favours at all, to be honest. No, I know he's all about light, but we're all about comfort.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'd take bad light for...
He's all right. He's sat in a small sweaty room, but he's got a fan.
Yeah.
And he's lost two in us as well. Right, we've got a bunch of things to get through, obviously, live. So if you want to send in some questions for Neil for later on in the stream, then please be our guest and do so in the live comments alongside the video. Do drop a like as well, because it always helps the algorithm, and we like algorithms. We're going to start with Jordan Henderson. It's been the focus of the week, really, and I'm kind of glad that people have calmed down a bit on it, and it normally happens when Liverpool play football matches. A lot of this stuff kind of gets pushed away. But you wrote about it. You were one of the people quite vocal around it at the time, at the start of the week. The talk being that contract negotiations haven't gone as smoothly as I think either party would have hoped.
Yeah.
That then cropped up a notion that PSG, Atletico Madrid might be keeping an eye on things. Subsequently, the Mirror have put out that Arsenal would be the front runners if he were to move, which sounds a stretch, but we'll see. Let's take it back to the sort of the genesis of this. Where's all of this come from?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I have to say, first and foremost, it's not my story. It was a story that came from the Athletic through James and David Ornstein. So that's where the genesis of the story is. Look, you can tell from the story which side it's coming from. It's not a Liverpool angle story. It's a Jordan Henderson angle story, and it's I think probably the reaction to it. Again, you're right about playing football matches. Obviously, it tends to overtake events like this. But I think the reaction was probably influenced a lot by the unexpected nature of it. I don't think anyone was thinking at any point. You know, there's a lot of players at Liverpool, I think, that you don't even think about them not being there. You know, I think Andy Robertson, Trent, Van Dijk, Alisson. You know, if you start to contemplate the idea that they're not there, it's a sort of a real shock to you. And I think Jordan Henderson's very much in that category.
Do you think that's I know that's a comfort on our side, but is that a complacency maybe on the club side?
I think, maybe on the club side. I suppose if you ask Jamie Carragher, you've spoken to him many times down the years, as have I. He often says that homegrown players tend to be undervalued, and I think Jordan Henderson probably fits that category, even though he's not, you know, technically a homegrown player, been here that long. So I think maybe there is a complacency around those players that, well, he's... the grass is not going to be greener for him elsewhere. He's our captain, and he's been here 10 years, and he's done this. So potentially, but I think the probably the issue comes with maybe Henderson's complacency as well, and he might have thought that this won't be any sort of prolonged negotiations. This will just be a sort of in and out. This is what I want. Can I sign here? And it hasn't worked out that way. Potentially, you know, a bit of both angles there. It's a more complex analysis, if you like, because I think there are questions to be answered in terms of the worth of both sides and what the, you know, the correct course of action is for the player and most clearly for the club. So I do think there's a discussion to be had, and there has been a lot of discussion of it, and I've seen both sides presented pretty rationally, you know, which is not always the case when you get stories like this, but I have seen some pretty rational arguments saying, well, why would you give him a 5-year contract, you know, but why how can you talk about sort of this sort of
legacy?
Do
we know what the sticking point is?
Yeah, well, it's there's only two things that it possibly can be, and it's the length of the contract and the terms on offer. Mm-hmm. Probably most likely more down to the length of the contract, which Genie Wijnaldum, I think, was one of the ones that I think he wanted a bit more security and of course, a bit more recognition than he was going to get. I'm not sure Henderson and Wijnaldum are in exactly the same position, but I'm sure there'll be similarities there. I think it'll be Liverpool looking at it from a ruthless business sense of 33. Maybe the fact that they've got so many other renewals to do this in this calendar year, pretty much. You know, you could be looking at probably around 7 or 8 first teamers that are either going to want a new contract or Liverpool are going to want to offer a new contract to. So that's obviously difficult. And maybe the complacency from Liverpool's edge is that, well, Jordan will be okay, so we won't push that envelope.
Because we're having this discussion is, like, let's say the difference between Mo Salah and Hendo, actually to the 11 and to the importance, you know, Hendon's got a lot more in things going on around to his importance. You mentioned the captain's armband, all the things he does off the pitch, the motivation of the squad. But if you renew Mo Salah's contract, then you're safeguarding £100 million.
Yeah, yeah.
If you renew Jordan Henderson's contract, it's nowhere near.
And there is an issue. He's a couple of years older than Mo Salah. Mo Salah doesn't miss a game. Genie Wijnaldum doesn't miss a game. So, you know, that didn't force that. But Mo Salah, I think there's a lot more guarantee with Mo Salah. He'll probably play close to every game. He'll probably score this amount of goals, and he will probably be worth this amount. Jordan Henderson's value is obviously massive to Liverpool, but it's hard to see a £50 million move for Jordan Henderson at 31, 32, 33. It's hard to see him playing every minute of a Premier League season in the centre of midfield. It's hard to see him scoring you 15 goals a season from midfield. It doesn't happen. So there are less guarantees with Henderson and what he can offer Liverpool, albeit still substantial. But there are players like Van Dijk, Salah, Alisson, Fabinho, is in that position. Probably the fullbacks will get to that position sooner. Sadio Mane, there's a lot of players that need changes to their contract in the next few months, and I still think there will be a resolution around Jordan Henderson, but it might just be that maybe a story like this speeds it up and just convinces both parties that, hey, you know, we've just had a look over the edge of the cliff there, and actually we don't like what we've seen, so let's get back around this table and have a chat.
Do you think there's something in that of like having seen the Genie situation?
Yeah.
The Jordan Henderson, I got no sense that he wants to go anywhere. No. He loves where he is, he loves his life, he loves his job, he loves all the things around it. Maybe this is just a reminder from Team Henderson to go, you know, give Liverpool a kick.
You can't walk all over me. You know, you look, it's easy to forget, isn't it? But Jordan Henderson got to the last sort of 13 months of his contract in 2015. He was about to enter the final year, and there was a lot of worry about that. You know, I think, I might be wrong, no, Chan was a lot longer. There was a few players that were sort of getting to that stage, and Jordan Henderson, it got to the stage where there was a lot of talk about Manchester City, and that they were looking at it and saying, well, he's only got a year left on his contract, we might be tempted to have a bash here. And he signed it in the end. He signed a longer contract, and then a few years later, he signed the contract, which is obviously he's in now. So maybe there's a case of he's seen that before and thought, oh, I really don't want to get to that stage where I'm thinking about me last year, I'm 33. Maybe I've missed games through injury. Maybe I'm having to sort of tailor me games a little bit, like, you know, Steven Gerrard did towards the back end, where I'm not playing every week. I don't really want to get to that situation and then have the contract issue hanging over me. So can we get this done quickly? And it hasn't happened. And obviously Gerrard's another one that really, you know, it has to be held out. Liverpool allowed Steven Gerrard to leave on a free transfer. You know, the player had a say in it, but really a lot of it came down to what the club did or didn't do in terms of their offer to him. So there is a precedent there, Liverpool allowing an iconic captain to walk away. I'm not convinced they'll do that with Jordan yet, certainly. And I still think there's probably a lot of room and a lot of dialogue to be had there and a resolution to be found.
You just got to look. I mean, he was putting a picture out on Instagram from doing some warm weather training, and it's just filled with people going, stay, don't leave.
You know, we've got this on the table here. I mean, I'm not plugging that, but
thanks, Dale.
But we have got that on the table. You know, you look at the fuss Liverpool made around that themselves. Yeah. You know, you guys did a great job with the documentary, but Liverpool did a lot themselves.
Yeah.
There was a lot of fanfare around it. It's a year today, all the pictures of him lifting the Premier League trophy and the iconic images. Certainly, I don't see a part of the ways this summer, and I find it hard to believe that Liverpool won't really try and keep Jordan as a major part of the club some way, you know, for the remainder of his, well, not maybe not for the remainder of his playing career, but certainly for the remainder of his life.
Yeah. Where do you think the PSG and the Atletico Madrid stuff comes from in this?
Well, I think the PSG, they've got a real strong history and a real strong recent history of taking advantage of these kind of situations. I think the Atletico Madrid, it was sort of suggested he's quite close with Luis Suarez and he has that link, and maybe there's, you know, Kieran Trippier went out to Atletico Madrid, didn't he? So maybe there's sort of a bit of a good vibes coming back from about that club and what it's like. And obviously, mm-hmm. it's a great city, isn't it? So I think there might be that kind of element. But I think the PSG one stems from Pochettino. And I think that he's a massive fan of Henderson. I've actually heard him in press conferences state when he was Tottenham manager how much of an admirer he was of the player. So I think that's where that comes from. And the fact that PSG's model allows for them to sneak in,
spend money
on 30 plus players, 30 year old players plus, and players who, you know, have maybe not been able to convince other clubs, other big clubs, to give them contracts. You know, Sergio Ramos being a great example. You know, thing in the back,
Gini Wijnaldum,
Ander Herrera from Manchester United. You know, there's a lot of examples of that. Juventus are pretty much, you know, a little bit of, have been similar to that in the past as well.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. And the Arsenal stuff, I mean, I
hadn't heard that, to be honest.
No, and I saw, you see PSG in that letter, and you go, yeah, well, you know what, part of me would be like, if you wanted to go and try that,
yeah.
I wouldn't want to see him leave, but I could go, okay, well, that's an enticing prospect. But it's like, Arsenal, it's better than Arsenal.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you can talk about a new challenge, and you can believe it when you see it. That's a challenge and a half, isn't it? Going, you know, yeah. I don't see Jordan Henderson going and playing for another English club, yeah. Personally. Mate, unless it's like Sunderland down the years, you know, when he's back end and he's going into manager, he's thinking about whatever the very end of his career. I don't see Jordan Henderson playing in the Premier League for anyone, certainly not Arsenal.
Yeah, no, I completely agree on that. It's James Walmsley here with a comment saying, I can understand if you're him, you'll get a much bigger move at 31 to a good Champions League club compared to if you're 33. Maybe you're looking at Italy or a mid-table Premier League club by that point. And again, that's a good point. That's a point where his negotiating position doesn't get easier from here.
Yeah,
this is his last big chance to make a big thing before, you know, before he's seen as being an upsetter. You know, he's not rocking the boat and he's not being a gobshite about it. You know, and it's not dead close that all the pressure ramps up.
Yeah,
everyone can look at it and go, we've still got two seasons left on his contract.
Exactly. But you've also got, and I would counter that by saying, yeah, but he's at a Champions League club and he's at a club that can win the Champions League and can win the Premier League, and he won't just be involved in it, he'll be the figure of it, he'll be the centrepiece of that happening. So I can see if Liverpool say to him, look, if Liverpool were to say, and I don't think they will, you are not getting a new contract, you know, or if you do, it's a 50% wage cut or whatever it may be, so make your mind up now, we're happy to let you go, then I can see then that becomes an option. But I think if Liverpool are saying, well, no, come on, let's talk about this, you've still got 2 years, let's not rush this, we don't, you know, there's no panic here, I don't see many better options for him out there than Liverpool. And, you know, you'd say about his bargaining point gets weaker. It does, but not if he plays every week.
Yeah.
And Liverpool win.
Yes.
And Liverpool compete for the Premier League and they compete for the Champions League. His bargaining point becomes even stronger because he's saying, you know what, I'm 32 and I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
And you look at Milner. You look at some of the other players. I mean, Ramos is a good example. Look at Thiago Silva. You know, players like that. I think Henderson's younger than Lewandowski, still doing it at that age. That doesn't become an issue. They're still vital players or big, you know, hitters.
Yeah, I suppose that's the point, isn't it? You know, he has missed a lot of football. He's just in doing the book, which I was flashing up there. Thanks so much for that, Neil. A lot of his season stories end early. He plagued with injuries at times. You know, and you know, this season is a pivotal one in that, because you're right, Milner's a great example, because for people going, well, FSG don't want lads over 30, well, James Milner's there.
Still
now
there.
Of course, James Milner has accepted a diminished role in the squad as he's gone through that period, but also it's his durability, but he's proven his durability in that time. If Jordan proves his durability, then there's no question to be asked.
And especially if you think that he played centre back last year, so you know he played one of the eights, one of the sixes, or as the six, and he's played centre back. You know,
fullback.
Yeah, it's not Milner-esque, but it's that that's that's quite important sometimes when you you're looking at a squad. You know, I've got no question if James Milner was purely a right mid or a left back, I think he probably would have moved on by now. But it's the fact that he's all of them, and he's you know, that's what makes him so valuable. And yeah, the fact obviously that, you know, he's had his injuries himself, Milner, you know, sort of shorter injuries rather than anything long term, but he's like you say, he's proven his durability. Once he played 600 odd games in his career, you know, there's a lot of miles on the clock, but it doesn't show with him. With Jordan, I think yeah, that there are legitimate sort of worries over his injuries. I think he had two seasons before last season where he played the majority of games. He had a bad one obviously February last year, but he had all the problems with his foot early on in Klopp's reign, and there's been issues there. So yeah, there are a lot of things to consider. Like I say, I keep going back to it. I still think there's a lot of room and a lot of time and a lot of will to find a resolution from both sides.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, keep your questions coming in. Anyone you want, any particular targets or thoughts you want to have towards Neil, let us know a bit later on in the stream. Saul, we've talked about him for a few weeks on the bounce now. There's been sort of conflicting reports on this. I had a few bits and pieces sent to me sort of through the grapevine that the word was Liverpool had a little tickle at £35-ish million, which had been rejected. We've seen a few legitimate sources then coming out and saying that's categorically not true, etc. It's come up again today. There's another Spanish publication talking about being a bid rejected. Anything?
Well, I don't think Liverpool have bid. Pretty certainly haven't bid. I think the more telling part is, I think he's been offered around. I think I'm not saying Atletico Madrid are offering him around, because I think Simeone's quotes were pretty much that he wants him to stay, but he understands that he's maybe getting a bit cheesed off at being moved around a little bit. Milnery playing fullback and playing, you know, wide right and playing in midfield and that kind of thing. But I think mainly it's probably Saul and his people thinking about, we need to get some options. Look, I don't think it's a goer personally. From what I've spoken to people, I know I've spoken to one person in particular who's like, there is no chance of him playing or signing, which is...
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Someone I believe as well, and you think you have to, it ties into Henderson really, and it ties into Van Dijk and Salah. His wages would probably make him the highest paid player at Liverpool currently, and then you're trying to renew 8 first team players and they're saying, right, this guy here who's sub and plays a few places, he's a good player, very good player, but he's not starting for us yet. He's been brought in and he's on that, so I'm on that at least. In fact, I'm going to be on that now because of that. So I don't see Liverpool bringing in a player who's, unless he's a surefire, what Klopp would describe as a slam dunk signing, like an Alisson, a Van Dijk, a Salah, or a Mane, maybe Fabinho, but I don't think Fabinho was even in that category himself.
At the time, so.
Yeah, at the time. Yeah. He was going to grow into that role, and he has. But I don't see Liverpool bringing in a player who's going to not fit into the wage structure of the club, and I think Sal would be outside that, and I think that's why they wouldn't sanction the deal. As good a player as he is, and I think I've seen a player against Liverpool and he was fantastic. I've seen him playing, you know, in Champions League games and really dominate them for Atletico Madrid and think, yeah, he's a great player. And I have spoken to people who are involved in the game who think he's a diamond of a player, or has been in the past, certainly. But I don't see Liverpool doing it. And I think probably the amount of stories that are coming out about him probably reflect the fact that the player is starting to look over the garden fence and saying, well, do you know what? I won't really want to go and be the main man somewhere.
No, which makes perfect sense. And the thing about him is he's that age, isn't he? You know, we're not talking about another 28, 29, 30 year old, you know, like Alatiago.
Yeah.
You're talking about a guy right there, right in the middle of his prime. He's got more good years to come as well. So Liverpool should be having these conversations, should definitely be feeling these out. But you're right, the wage thing is the tricky thing, and people forget that at times.
And Spanish wages as well. I mean, generally, as much as the Premier League is the place to be, if you're earning good money in Spain, it's remarkable money. You know, you've read the story about Griezmann, and obviously Messi's a Messi, but like, you've read stories about salaries of Dembele and people like that are on, and you know, it's eye-watering. You know, even for clubs like Liverpool and Manchester City, sometimes you're like, wow, you know, that's what they can earn at Real Madrid or Atletico or Barcelona. So yeah, there's, you know, I can, to be honest, that from the conversations I've had, that was the main sort of like, no chance because of that sort of, you know, I think it was well in advance of £10 million a year, I think would be what he'd be looking for.
Yeah. Dylan O'Rourke says, any good news, Neil?
Liverpool playing Friday, you know. Jota's there this morning giving it the thumbs up. Robertson's there on Friday. Canate's made his debut. There's, you know, Van Dijk and Gomez are getting closer and closer to coming back. Salah and Mane are already there.
All like new signings. Oh, yeah, I just love saying that.
Yeah, of course, but... Yeah, well, look, the news comes when the news comes, doesn't it? And, you know, I don't know, I think pre-season is the one time that it becomes football doesn't matter and signings are all that matters. And Liverpool have already made a pretty good one. I personally, I'm of the opinion that he's going to be a real asset to Liverpool. I can just got a feeling about it, even the way he's sort of settled into, you know, little things like... There's an artist, I think, done a drawing of him on Twitter, and he's replying saying, "Oh, I love it," and all. You know, he's into the Liverpool thing, and I quite like that about it. And I think he's going to be a real good asset for him. He's got great physical attributes, obviously. 22, loads of potential to grow into a real top player. So I think, you know, you want the good news. Liverpool have already made a very, very good signing this summer.
It's just a pity they didn't do it. Was just too known, wasn't it? You know, it's like an advocate stuff. You don't get like the impact.
The Fabinho, wow, no one saw that coming. Yeah, of course.
Jota last season. Right, the one that we've been linked with most recently, this is another Athletic drop hand grenade into the Liverpool transfer world, Jared Bowen.
Yeah.
Like, if we were shocked by Diogo Jota coming out of nowhere, told that Jared Bowen's on a Liverpool shortlist, certainly, let's say, it raised a few eyebrows.
Yeah, I suppose it does, doesn't it? Because
we're all football snobs.
A little bit. It's West Ham. Well, I think West Ham don't have a great... I say Liverpool don't look at West Ham with any envious glances. Wolves... probably differently. Southampton, when they were in the bit, you know, was sort of, they're doing a good job. I like that. West Ham, Moyes is the manager, and West Ham, you know, they're so London, and the stadium's, you know, whatever. And a lot of people sort of were a little bit like last season, what are they doing in the top five, six, you know? And to be honest, he probably didn't stand out when you looked at West Ham. He played a lot, but he probably didn't look... You didn't look at West Ham and go, there in the top six because Jared Bowen's on fire. Yeah. You probably looked at it because you said, well, Suchek's playing really well and Antonio's scoring the goals and
but Declan Rice... Wise, like, but he's not good, far off, is
no,
he?
Yeah,
he's very close, in fact.
He's a good footballer. I've seen a bit of him. I remember going to watch Hull play Cardiff. So Harry Wilson was on loan at Hull and Gruitch was on loan at Cardiff. It was towards the back end of, would have been the 17-18 season, I think. Yeah, it was. 17-18, it was Grand National Day. There you go, knowledge. But he was the best player. He was the best player on the pitch. Cardiff won 2-0. Warnock was in charge and he scored two goals, centre-half, big long throws and scored. But Jarrod Bowen was the one player I'd never really heard of him. I think he was the top scorer for Hull. I was like, well, he's tired. Yeah, and I remember asking Harry Wilson about him. He said, oh, he's a good player. He said, he'll play Premier League. He said, I think Tottenham were sniffing around him in particular at that point. He said, oh, yeah, he'll play Premier League. Like, he's a good player. He must have been, what is he now, 24 is he now, Bowen, I think. He would have been about 20 then, 21. So you sort of, you know, he's in your conscious. And then he went to West Ham. It was a lot of money. I think he only had 6 or 12 months left on his contract. He went to West Ham for a lot of money, and he thought, yeah, they spent a bit. But I've watched him, and he plays down the right. He's got good attributes of the Premier League, scores goals, you know, he's got tidy feet, and he's decent on the ball. I wouldn't have listened. You could have given me a fair few cracks at Liverpool being interested in Premier League players. It would have took me a while to get to Jarrod Bowen, I think.
Yeah.
But
the story is
not whether I like Jarrod Bowen. The story is Jurgen Klopp likes Jarrod Bowen and his recruitment team. So and I have to say, cards on the table. When Liverpool signed Sadio Mane, I had a look and thought, you know, I've seen him play a few times. He's a bit hit and miss. When Liverpool signed Andy Robertson, I was convinced that he'd be another one on that left-back list of all those left-backs that Liverpool had tried and failed with. Mm-hmm. So, Gini Wijnaldum, I wouldn't have plucked Gini Wijnaldum out of anywhere. I wouldn't have signed Oxlade-Chamberlain if I'd had the option, you know. So, for all that, a lot of Liverpool fans have sort of reacted with a little bit of Jarrod Bowen. They probably did the same as me with a lot of those signings as well. So I think the one thing I would always say, and it goes back to the guy there who asked about the good news, is the best news, I think, is that when Liverpool do tend to sign a player, it tends to be a good one.
Yeah.
You know, Jota, Thiago, Harvey Elliott, you know, looking back. I know Minamino will probably be one that we'll maybe talk about in another part of the show. Mm-hmm. But generally, Liverpool have... Even whether it's the slam dunks, like I say, the ones who you knew were going to be great, like Van Dijk and Alisson, or the ones who you thought, ooh, that's an interesting one, like Robertson and like Wijnaldum, like Jota, I suppose. You look and you say, they got it right.
Yeah.
And they did the homework. I'm not saying that Bowen will happen. I think the story was pretty much clear that it's a short list and there'll be a lot of other names on that short list. But I think it's interesting enough that he's one of them, and it tells you a little bit about the type of player, but also I think the profile of player. And like I say, I've said this on the show the last few weeks, you can draw a decent line most of the time in the year at Liverpool transfer room and say, well, does he fit this, and Jarrod Bowen does, in the sense of young, bit versatile, can play a couple of positions, not established as a star, but with room to grow into it, and pace as well, and playing for a club that you feel like you could probably get him out of.
Yeah, the interesting point in this as well is obviously Liverpool's homegrown quota for the coming season. It's all well and good saying we don't want Jarrod Bowen. Well, if Liverpool want to sign footballers, they actually have to be homegrown because you can't, there's no more now. Obviously, the hope will be that some will get moved on. Certainly, and the talk around this is, if Shaqiri and or Shaqiri and Origi were to move on, then this is something that Liverpool might consider. Yeah. Which obviously is, you'd have some money to spend and you can go and move because you've got space in the squad as well. But it's something that people have to think about. It's not as simple as that, because in terms of the negotiating position, if you go out and buy someone and now you're over your quota once again, then all of a sudden you're holding out for the extra 5 million here and there. It's going to be a lot harder to do that.
We've seen it with clubs, haven't we? We've seen it with big names, Ozil being one, that they've had to just sit on the... I know there's a lot more going on with Ozil, but that it came down to the fact that they didn't feel it was worth registering him for the first 6 months of the season. We've seen, obviously, look at the players who Liverpool are looking to move on. Nico Williams and Nat Phillips are both obviously in that category of, they would be one of the homegrown quota probably, but if Liverpool are moving them on, then you're losing them out of that.
Yeah,
a lot... It's strange, isn't it? The rules of, obviously, I think they're well known, but they don't come into people's thinking when they're talking about transfers. It's just go and get this player from that league and that player from this league, and there is a lot of that. I think Liverpool are going to move on a fair few. Still, they moved on a few this week, obviously, earlier on in the week. They've already moved on, I think, 4 or 5 already this summer that were planned for and, you know, weren't going to contribute to the team. So I think there's more to come in that regard, and I think who and when and for what money will dictate
what type of player or where the player comes in from.
Absolutely. We had a super chat from James Gunn. He says, we'll accept Salah plus Virgil van Dijk in a swap for Bowen. Yeah.
West Ham fan, sure.
absolutely, why not? Mossy here asks, Harry Wilson news?
No news, other than what, I mean, I have been reporting it. Fulham are the likeliest team. They're riding for Marco Silva. I know there's been conversations specifically between Liverpool and Marco Silva, who's got a good relationship with a few of people in the Liverpool recruitment team. Mm-hmm. So I think he's an admirer of the player. It's interesting, it was described to me, and I think it's right, and I hadn't really thought of it like this. I did say I'm going to nick that. But Harry Wilson's a little bit like Fulham as the player and the club. It's like, ooh, you're probably too good for the Championship, but are you good enough for the Premier League? Yeah. And, you know, can they grow together type of thing? Are you just exactly what we need in the sense of a player who, you know, you need the right environment to really sort of become a Premier League player, and we need someone to help us become a Premier League club. So potentially that, and Liverpool obviously know that Fulham have spent money in the past down the Championship. Cavalero was one that was mentioned to me. I think they spent a fair bit of money getting him in. I'm not convinced Liverpool will get 15 million for Wilson, which is what they want. Mm-hmm. I think you'd be looking closer to 10 personally, but I think I wouldn't be surprised at all if he ends up at Fulham. But there'll be a lot of other clubs interested. You know, he's a player that, whatever the flaws in his all-round game, and I think they're quite evident, the flaws in his all-round game, in the sense of he's a little bit of a moments player.
Yeah.
Rather than someone who's going to be in the game for 90 minutes. But his numbers, they stack up. You know, if you're a Fulham, a West Brom, I'm trying to think of Watford in the lower reaches of the Premier League, a Norwich, you look and you say, well, you are pretty much guaranteed that he'll score you close to 10 goals and he'll get you close to 10 assists, maybe more. And that can be the difference for a club like Fulham from being promoted to not, for being in the playoffs to not, or a club like Watford from being relegated to not. So I think there'll definitely be a taker. I think it'll be bottom end Premier League, high end Championship.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Paul Smith, says any news on Houssem Aouar?
No. No. He's one that he's linked, isn't he? I mean, he's become a bit of a Liverpool staple, hasn't he? I think over the last 3 years.
Well, Maddock was convinced a couple of years ago that he was very,
yeah,
very high.
Yeah, I mean,
on
I think I'm surprised, to be honest, he hasn't moved on, because when he came through, so I don't even, he played for the 21s, I think, in the summer, France, so he's still young, obviously. But when he came through, probably around 3 years ago, I can remember him really coming onto the radar. I think it was seen that he was he was definitely going to be sort of one more year and then off somewhere, and he hasn't. He's still at Lille. Lyon, sorry, not Lille. No, I haven't heard that Liverpool have gone in near for him. I think Arsenal were quite strongly linked. Maybe Tottenham, I think. I've heard Tottenham linked. I haven't heard anything to do with him coming to Liverpool. And yeah, doesn't mean it's not happening, but
no,
yeah.
Just not yet.
Yeah.
Sheldon Mason with the 499 Super Chat. Thank you so much, Sheldon.
I thought you were going to ask me about, I was going to say, I've never heard of this player.
No, I know. Yeah. I just tested.
Yeah.
Will we need more of a traditional striker like Tammy Abraham from Chelsea?
Do you think Tammy Abraham is a traditional striker?
Well, that's an interesting question.
Yeah, I wouldn't have him down. I think he's a big lad, obviously, but I don't have him down as that personally. I get the question, and it was asked, obviously, Teo, 1 year's left this week, and I think a few people were replying on that, saying that, you know, he could have been a different option off the bench. I think they maybe didn't quite understand what type of player he is. He is a big lad, but I think I'm training pitches sort of coloured people's opinion.
The fact that he towers over all
the
other lads,
huge shoulders, and he is, you know, a very physically imposing figure. But he doesn't really play like that. He's a lot more of a channel runner, and you know, sort of an he's a grafter, certainly, rather than, you know, he's not Olivier Giroud or someone like that who's going to be sort of, you know, use me as a wall and we get runners off me. But I think there is a legitimate question to ask about whether Liverpool, and a lot of clubs, not just Liverpool, would benefit from having that option. But then you think back to Brendan Rodgers' attempts to do that with Benteke and with Ricky Lambert.
Yeah.
And it didn't work. And I don't necessarily see Jurgen Klopp going down that route and saying, not admitting, but sort of planning for failure. If you know, planning for my system to fail, and you see with Oxlade-Chamberlain this pre-season, you know, there's a clear, he's clearly getting a chance, I think, Oxlade-Chamberlain, to show that he can be a forward, if nothing else. I have my doubts about it, and I think a lot of people will as well. But that shows you, I think, what Liverpool's thinking is it's just Firmino again. Yeah. You know, you've got to be like Firmino. It's not we want to go diametrically opposed to him. We want to get some fella who's going to stand in the penalty area and flick things on. You're going to have to do the Firmino things as well.
Or if you do, there's probably a limited number of players on the planet that you would change for, and they're the generational ones. Yeah. So if Kylian Mbappe requires you to change your system, your system because you've got Kylian Mbappe and Erling Haaland.
Exactly.
So probably not for Tammy Abraham.
No, although he'll get a move on. I think Arsenal have been quite strongly linked with Abraham, but. I can completely see the argument, and there's a lot of times when I watch Liverpool and I think, just have Aguero there for that 6-yard box tapping, you know, them scruffy goals.
A lot
of times, but I just don't see Liverpool going down that route because I think they ask all of their players, never mind all of their forwards, but in particular their number nine, to do so much in the general build up. I don't think they can quite countenance that idea of having, you know, a penalty, a fella standing still.
Yeah. And there's people we've had players float throughout the club in Klopp's, you know, reign who at the time we thought they'll do that.
Yeah.
You know, like go back to Christian Benteke, who was a Liverpool player, used to dominate us, you know, when he was at Aston Villa. Now, obviously, it was pre Achilles injury when he was at Villa, you know, and I think it just took a little bit away from him when he finally got to us, of course. But even Dominic Solanke, Divock's there as well, who's not an archetypal target.
Well, Danny's a penalty box player, isn't he? And I think if Danny Ings had gone on loan to Southampton for 2 years, I think Liverpool could have found a good use for Danny Ings now or last season or whatever. But it was never going to happen. He had to go and play football. He was no use to Liverpool, having been out for 2.5 years. He had to go and play football and rediscover that sort of rhythm of it. And by the time he's done that, he's not a Liverpool player anymore, obviously. So I think it's difficult. It's difficult to find that. And we've talked about it in the past about, you know, how do you replace players that play every week? Yeah. You know, because the players who are good enough to do it aren't available, and the ones who might be good enough have that doubt of, do I want to go and be back up to Andy Robertson at left back or Harry Kane as a forward or whoever? Yeah. So it's a tough one to get. But to answer the question, no, I do take the point, but I don't see Liverpool going down that route of a traditional number nine.
It's funny how it goes from fans really wanting something becomes it's something that Liverpool need, which becomes Liverpool therefore must be targeting. And I mean, again, it's a good point. When was the last time Liverpool had a solid link to anything even remotely like a traditional number nine? Doesn't happen. Timo Werner, not a campaign number nine, but it's not a out and out number nine.
Smile a star. You know, there's a lot of players that Liverpool have been linked with, and we know that they are have interest in. They all have something in common, and it's usually that they can play wide or central.
Yeah, absolutely. And big shout to the Red Sea podcast guys who are in the comments as well. Do make sure you go and subscribe to their new YouTube channel. They were on the Reds Transfer Roundup show with us yesterday, which is streaming on theredmentv.com, which is where Transfer Insights Extra will be later on today. Me and Neil are going to carry on the chat. We're going to talk about a few other bits and pieces and hopefully answer a few more of the questions. You mentioned Oxlade-Chamberlain there, Harvey Elliott, the players that have moved on, Taiwo Grujic, maybe Shaqiri, Origi, Nat Phillips, and a few other bits and pieces as well. So, yes, thank you so much for joining us live for that. Thank you so much for joining us in the comments. And if you enjoyed it, do drop a like. We've got a fantastic competition as a little enticer. If you want to come over and join us on theredmentv.com. If you join us as a Club Legend subscriber, there's a chance to win a signed Jordan Henderson print and another couple of amazing prizes. Here's some more info on that, and we'll be back with more Transfer Insight next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned, We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.